There is a full situation briefing included, sir. Excellent. If we run to schedule, we should be departing for Lalonde in 8 hours. I've requested another 3 Void Hawks be assigned to the squadron for liaison and interdiction duties. Is there anything else you think I need immediately? This mission's code rating gives me the authority to requisition almost any piece of hardware the Navy has in the system. No, sir. But you will have a 4th extra Void Hawk. Ilex has been assigned to the squadron as well. You can never have too many Void Hawks, Meredith said lightly. There was no response from the young commander. Carry on, Kelvin. Find yourself a berth and get settled in. Report for duty here to me in an hour before departure time. You can give me a first-hand account of what we can expect. I always feel a lot happier being brought up to date by someone with hands-on experience. Meanwhile, I suggest you get some sleep. You look like you need it. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Kelvin twisted his feet free of the stick pad and pushed off towards the hatch. Meredith Saldana watched him maneuver through the open oval without touching the rim. Commander Solanke seemed to be a very tense man. But then I'd probably be the same in his place, the Admiral thought. He held up the fleck with a sense of foreboding, then slotted it into his couch player to find out exactly what he was up against. Horst was always glad to get back to the homestead and greet his scampish charges. After all, when all was said and done, they were only children, and profoundly shocked children at that. They should never be left on their own, and if he had his way, they never would. Practicality dictated otherwise, of course, and there had never yet been any major disaster while he was roaming the savannah for meat and foraging the other homesteads. To some extent he had grown blasé about his trips, but this time, after encountering the possessed out of the Surberg homestead, he had forced the return pace, stopping only to kill a danderil, his mind host to a whole coven of thoughts along the theme of, what if? When he topped a small rise 600 meters away and saw the familiar wood cabin with the children sporting around outside, he felt an eddy of relief. "Thank you, Lord," he said silently. He slowed down for the last length, giving Jay a respite. Sweat made her blue blouse cling to her skinny frame. The heat was becoming a serious problem. It seemed to have banished the hardy chick crows back into the jungle. Even the danderil he'd shot had been sheltering in the shade of one of the savannah's scarce trees. Horst blinked up at the unforgiving sky. Surely they don't mean to burn this world to cinders. They have form now, stolen bodies, and all the physical needs, urges, and failings which go with them. He squinted at the northern horizon. There seemed to be an effete pink haze above the jungle, dusting the sharp seam between sky and land, like the flush of dawn refracted over a deep ocean. The harder he tried to focus upon it, the more insubstantial it became. He couldn't believe it was a natural, meteorological rara avis, more an omen. His humor, already tainted by the Surberg homestead, sank further. Too much is happening at once. Whatever polluted destiny they are manufacturing, it is reaching its zenith. They were 100 meters from the cabin when the children spotted them. A scrum of small bodies came running over the grass, Danny in the lead. Both of the homestead's dogs chased around them, barking loudly. "Freya's here!" the boy yelled out at the top of his voice. "Freya's here, father. Isn't it wonderful?" Then they were all clinging to him, shouting jubilantly and smiling up with enthusiasm as he laughed and patted them and hugged them. For a moment he reveled in the contact, the hero returning. A knight protector and Santa Claus rolled into one. They'd expected so much of him. "What did you find in the cabins, father?" "You were quick today. Please, father, tell Barnaby to give my reading tutor block back. Was there any more chocolate? Did you find any shoes for me? You promised to look for some story flex." With his escort swelling round and chattering happily, Horst led the horse over to the cabin. Russ and Mills had slithered off its back to talk with their friends. "When did Freya arrive?" Horst asked Danny. He remembered the dark-haired girl from Aberdale, Freya Chester, about 8 or 9, whose parents had brought a large variety of fruit trees with them. Kerry Chester's grove had always been one of the better-maintained plots around the village. "About 10 minutes ago," the boy said. "It's great, isn't it?" "Yes, it certainly is. remarkable, in fact. He was surprised she had survived this long. Most of the children had turned up during the first fortnight, while they were still camping in a glade a kilometre away from Aberdale, five of them walking from Schuster.